about. You gotta put it in the
Don't mind. I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Well, I can't feel sad, but here's my best approximation of human crying. So confused.
Flame coming out of your butthole. Flame coming out of your butthole. Flame coming out of your butthole. You can't sit down. Flame coming out of your butthole. Flame coming out of your butthole.
And now, I mean, if they start smelling money in the water, they're going to start coming out of the woodwork.
Our feature presentation.
That's true. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Wednesday morning, the 12th of April.
What's the weather like today, guys? Do you know?
No.
Oh, I heard it's going to be a high of 73 degrees with a low of about 56.
That's interesting. I hope we share that information early and often.
I hope to.
So, Wednesday morning, you guys.
Right.
We're doing a show.
Right. What do you expect us to say to that? Yes, it's Wednesday, and we're doing a show.
Mm-hmm.
That Bean is correct when he says that.
Just want to make sure we're all on the same page.
Yes.
I make sure we're all doing what we think we're doing.
Yes.
Hey, how long has it been since we have done the phone topic of found money? Has it been a while since we've done that?
Meaning you're walking down the street, or you just go to the,
like the website?
Government website, or what?
Anything. Any way that money kind of fell into your hands that you were not expecting. I mean,
been a while.
My favorite is, it's a tiny, tiny thing, but it's so joyous when you take that pair of pants out of the dryer and you're fluffing them up and you realize there's a $20 bill in the pocket. You're so happy. It's your money, but you're so happy because you didn't know it was there, and boom, now you got this extra money, right?
I spend a lot of time fluffing up my jeans. I know that. I fluff them a lot.
You know what I mean? Because sometimes the pockets come out when they're in the dryer, and you have to put them back together and fold them up and everything like that. You found money in your clothes, right?
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
It's a sweet, sweet feeling.
Did it happen to you?
It has happened to me. Not particularly recently, but it has happened to me. It's a lot of fun. And every once in a while, you'll hear about somebody who find a bunch of money in their couch and they forgot about it. Well, this story in the news made me start thinking about this, and I love this so much. First of all, Kevin, you need to be friends with Nick Mead.
Okay.
He lives in Britain. He runs a company called Tanks a Lot.
I feel like I would get along well with him.
Tanks a Lot. It's a company that rents out tanks and armored vehicles for TV and movies and private events and that sort of thing. So this guy buys and sells tanks. First of all, how awesome would it be to have a tank? And wouldn't it be very tempting to take that places?
Yeah, of course.
Just to get your tank and just
to drive it on the 405?
Right down the road with a tank.
Honk at me. Go ahead. I got a tank.
What are you going to do? I win. This is what he does. He buys tanks. So he bought an ex-Iraqi Army Type 69 tank on eBay. Not a joke. That's the name of it. This is a story according to Popular Mechanics. It's for reals, okay? So one of the things that you do when you get a tank is you take it apart and make sure everything works, and you refurbish and repair what needs to be.
Make sure the gun works on it.
I would imagine you'd want to find out what's working, what's not, right?
Right.
So he finds a whole bunch of bullets in the tank, in the tank. And then he also, in one of the fuel tanks, realizes that it is full of something. It's very heavy. They're taking the fuel tanks off to resolder everything and make everything just so. And they expect that there's going to be all those guns from all those bullets in the fuel tank. But that's not what's in the fuel tank at all. What's in the fuel tank is gold bars.
Wow.
Totaling a value of $2.5 million.
Score.
$2.5 million of gold bars hidden away in this tank. He, by the way, was filming the whole thing. He does that, and he
like when people unbox stuff.
Yes, it's exactly what it is. It's an unboxing video. He said he, in particular, wanted to make sure to film taking this fuel tank apart because if there were a bunch of guns in there, he wanted to be able to explain that to the police if he ended up with all these guns that weren't his, that weren't registered to him, that may possibly be illegal.
Did he run to the police and say, hey, I found gold?
Yes, he did.
What?
Oh, come
That's
on.
That's exactly what he did.
What?
He went to the police and he turned in the gold so that they could do an investigation on it. It is anticipated that it will come back to him. But he said, yeah, because you can't just walk into a place with a gold bar that doesn't have any kind of train of, you know, any kind of track record.
Yeah, I guess I could see that. Mm-hmm. You walk into a bank and they go,
exactly.
No.
Just slap that on the counter.
Right. I'd like this,
do
please.
This.
Cash this in for me, would you please? There were 5 gold bars. They were believed to have been looted by Iraqi soldiers during the Kuwait invasion back in 1990.
How many tanks have gold bars in them that have not been discovered.
Right? So it's this $2.5 million has basically been for over 25 years. It's just been hidden inside that fuel tank, and nobody knew it was there.
Wow,
and that's what this guy got.
I need to buy tanks.
See,
yeah, you do. No,
that's the
no,
takeaway,
you don't.
Right?
Sorry, sure. No, I just thought about it. No,
you guys remember the very 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 low speed chase in San Diego with a tank?
Yes,
yes,
that was awesome.
That was incredible.
Was awesome.
So anyway, this one's going to be tough to top. But if we get around to doing found money, this does beat extra coins in the couch cushions, that's for sure.
I would say so, yes.
But I do love everything. I love the fact that this guy runs a tank rental company, and I love the fact that he just found $2.5 million in gold bars.
And I love the fact that he's a serious enough guy to buy and rent tanks, and he came up with the name Tanks a Lot. What are the chances?
That's a pretty perfect name.
Seems pretty wacky.
Yeah, it does.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin DeBicho, shall we?
Well, with a wind-up like that, I'm sure whatever you have to say must be important.
Thank you. Wednesdays means the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
Yeah, it does.
We also have Jonah Ray in studio.
Excellent.
I love him, by the way.
I love him as well. I
met him at April Foolishness. Mm-hmm. I'd never met him before. And he and his wife were delightful. And I actually enjoyed having a conversation in person with humans.
Wow.
Man. That's high
that
praise
is
coming
high
from
praise.
Me.
It's as high praise as you can get from
yeah.
me.
Yeah. It's fine. I mean, I don't want to do it again anytime soon, but right. I really, really okay. enjoyed it at the time.
We're going to talk hockey playoffs with Ryan Getzlaff. Mm-hmm. And I'm Ducks.
Curse of Kevin and Bean. Come on.
How dare you? How dare you?
What?
You guys believe in past life regression?
I do not.
I don't either. Somebody tells you what you were in a past life?
I mean, I'm listening.
Allie's in. Yeah. And we've also got your tickets for Coachella Weekend 2 as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
106.7 K-Rock KOQ. That's a band from San Francisco. The Bomb Pops.
It's Coldplay.
Be Sweet. Mm. Right before them, you heard The Regrets, Real Live Human Girl.
Oh, my goodness.
And then we heard...
Buddy?
Then we heard...
Buddy?
Long Way.
What? You okay?
Then, well, we heard Daphne Guinness doing the Long Way.
Rodney?
Oh, God, I'm getting tired. You could tell.
Goodness.
No.
What can I say?
I laid out.
But I had a great time. And
sounds like it.
A couple reminders that are coming up.
Great.
Don't forget the new Pornographers.
What?
What?
Are playing on the 12th at the theater.
The theater?
Where? At the theater, Bean.
Echo. Oh, God, I can't even think.
Rodney, you all right?
At the, I don't know, they're playing somewhere.
Oh, okay.
Look it up.
I earlier in my show, if you missed it, then
just rewind.
Anyway, I don't normally play drum machines because I hate drum machines.
Sure,
that's why. But I'm going to slip this one in.
Because right.
It's Depeche Mode, brand new one
Depeche
from Depeche Mode?
Mode. That's
this
weird.
It's called So Much Love. From Depeche Mode.
I'm sorry.
Oh, K-Rock.
We don't have time for Depeche Mode right
You've
now.
You've said
so
Depeche Mode 3 times, Rodney.
He has no further comment. He's very tired, so he's laying down.
He's played Depeche Mode more than any band in the history of this radio station.
For 100 years, yeah. He's played Depeche Mode.
You guys, Depeche he also Mode. Said, I'm going to slip this one in.
He did.
And I'm not okay.
You never want to hear those flushed. Words from Rodney, big and ever.
Depeche right, Mode.
Oh, wow. You guys. Now.
He's tired.
Now I say we just stop. Now it's just bad.
Yeah, nope.
Not sad.
Nope.
Come on.
I'd like to hear it again right now.
It is 5:53. Ralph Garman has joined us for our first look at the showbiz beat here on a Wednesday morning. What's going on?
Is he going to play Nirvana, too?
That's crazy.
Wow.
Come on.
Depeche Mode.
No! You can't say that. Right? It just can't happen.
It was an interesting choice.
I mean, he
loves the choice.
He loves the 80s, right?
And he more played, than anything.
And he broke them in America.
Yes, he did. And said their name a million times.
At least.
Oh, what did can he say, I say?
Did he say it right a million times? Is this a new thing? Do we know of? Or has this always been?
I think he's just sleepy.
I can't imagine he's always said it that way.
But he's got to know once.
Right.
Oh, whoops.
Oh, right, right.
We all make mistakes. Three times in a row?
You guys, what if we've been saying it wrong?
What if it is Depeche Mode?
Yes.
It's a good point.
Thank
when
you.
We have Dave Gahan in, he's just like, don't worry about it.
Right?
That's going to change our game to Depeche a la mode.
Wow.
Now I'm just angry.
That happened.
Now I'm just mad.
Why?
Oh,
I'm happy.
I'm sad.
You're sad. He's happy. I'm angry. Depeche Mode. Come on.
Right?
Look, I know it's a clown show, but still, he's on the radio. It's on K-Rock.
Depeche Mode.
No, stop saying that. There are certain bands you should just be able to pronounce.
Because I'm awesome.
It's true.
You guys
it's Depeche Mode.
Liars.
You guys excited for Easter?
Yeah.
Right?
Thank God.
Yeah. That's where we do get a chance to thank God. It's coming up this weekend. Mm-hmm. It's early this year.
Bring it.
Why is it always all over the place, by the way? What are the rules? What are the Easter rules?
I think it has to do with, like, a calendar.
Thanks, Sally.
You're
Thanks
welcome.
For your input.
Bitch.
Come on, Rodney. You are tired. You should lay down.
God, Rodney.
It's one of those holidays that floats around. It's never the same time every year, and I'm not really sure why. Is it the first Sunday of April?
I honestly don't know.
I don't even know how it works either. But I was stunned, I say, to learn that Easter is the number one candy holiday in America.
Bigger than Halloween.
More than Halloween?
Yes.
I don't.
Huh.
I don't believe it.
I'm not making this up, Allie.
I'll bet.
These are sales reports.
I don't know. I guess to fill the eggs with the candy? Well, I'm just saying it doesn't make any sense that it's more than Halloween.
To put it in a basket? I guess. we know how Easter works, Kevin.
Genius.
Shut up, Rodney.
And that's for all you who were chasing rabbits today. All you Easter freaks out there. Hope everybody had a happy Easter.
It hasn't happened yet, Rodney.
April
weekend.
Is the time when it all happens.
This Sunday.
And as you know, April is when they have Record Store Day. I think every day should be Record Store Day.
Right.
The bunnies.
Chase rabbits.
Is it candy for kids to eat, I guess?
It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense, does it, to you guys?
It seems silly.
$812 million spent last year for Easter candy, as compared to $787 million for Halloween at number two. Third biggest candy holiday? Anyone?
Christmas?
Ha! I laugh at your Christmas. Fifth. Christmas fifth on your list.
Third biggest.
Valentine's Day, of course.
Yeah, Valentine's Day.
Sure.
$785 million.
Mm. Why?
Because people give candy. I guess because people give candy on Valentine's Day? To people that are dating?
Can't
by the way,
it's April already.
Yeah, right?
Thank you. Easter will be held on the first Sunday after the first full moon occurring on or after the vernal equinox.
Oh, that can bite me.
That's a lot.
That rule can lick it. That rule can lick
it's
it.
It's a lot of stuff.
How does a rule lick it?
Come right over. Come on over here. I'll show you.
That is.
You are killing me.
That's pretty complex.
Yeah.
It's insane. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, just pick a day. I mean, aren't you commemorating something in particular? Shouldn't that just be a specific day, not depending on the moon?
Right.
Good point, Allie. Thanks.
Allie doesn't need us.
I want to hear the one woman radio show. She talks about Jesus and the moon. Most popular jelly bean flavor? Anyone? Most popular jelly bean flavor in America.
Pink.
Pink. I will end you. You have crossed the line this morning, lady.
It's only 5:58.
Well, we're not on the air yet. Yeah, we're not on the air yet, so we're all good.
Most popular, I'm going to say
lemon.
Licorice.
Licorice. Really, your guess is licorice.
Is that not a jelly bean flavor?
The most popular jelly bean flavor.
Is that a bad guess?
Yes, it's a bad guess. Given the fact that most people hate licorice, period.
Cotton candy. It's
what is happening?
I'm trying.
Is this real life?
Honestly, I can't even think of a flavor. Like, orange. Is it orange?
Whores.
Whores
is the most.
I can't think of a flavor. Orange. Is it orange? Happened all at once in your head. You thought of a flavor and you just went with it. Thank God you can think of one flavor.
Hot dog.
That's as good, I guess, as any of these has been, Kevin.
Thank you.
I have to admit, that is equal to Bean and Allie's guess. But you're all equally as good.
I'm with Allie in that I don't think I can
think of any flavors. You can't think of things.
Of jelly beans. I don't think they taste like what they're supposed to taste like, do they?
Of jelly beans. Oh, at six, now we're on the air, guys.
No, they're secret. No, you're right. They're secret flavors, Allie. They don't taste like what they're supposed to taste like. It's a conspiracy from Depeche Mode.
Is it coconut?
I will end all of you people.
Is it lemon?
Cherry. Cherry is the most popular jelly bean flavor for children. 20% of the kids like the cherry jelly beans.
Hot dog is second, though.
Yeah, right behind it. Followed by strawberry with 12%, grape at 10% of the vote, lime and blueberry.
Vodka.
And then vodka, of course. Yeah. That's your candy update.
Holy crap.
What percentage of Americans think chocolate bunnies should be eaten ears first?
Oh, 98?
Close. I don't think it's that much. I think there is a there's a battle going on in America for
is there no battle?
Is there a battle?
There's no battle.
I think ears are preferred, but not by as much as Allie does. I'm going to say ears first is probably around 70%.
Allie's closer. 89% of Americans.
Well, it should be
89%. Only 6% say feet. And then 5% say tail.
Yeah, there it is.
There it is. So there's no battle, Bean. It's overwhelming. Overwhelming margin of victory for ears.
Thank you.
Allie knows eating ears.
I don't like Ralph Nix's guess.
We're not good.
I don't
think they taste like they're supposed to taste.
Orange.
Orange. I can't think of any flavors.
Sugar.
Wow. You went from She Bean to She Kevin. One day.
That's not where you want to be.
Devastating.
Muffins.
Okay, Roddy, we're done guessing things now.
69.
Today's right? Celebrity birthdays.
That, I don't like that.
Ed O'Neill, 71. How great is Ed O'Neill?
The best.
Great.
So good on Modern Family.
Yeah, he is.
David Letterman. Bearded David Letterman is 70 years old today. Here's mom passed away yesterday.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Dorothy, she passed away at 95 yesterday. David Cassidy is 67 years old today. Andy Garcia is 61. Nick Hexum of 311. Is 47. Shannon Doherty is 46 years old today. Guy Berryman of Coldplay is 39. Jennifer Morrison from House, 38 years old. She's also now in that witchy
Once upon
show.
A time.
Yeah. Claire Danes is 38. Brandon Urie from Panic at the Disco is now headed to Broadway in Kinky Boots. He's 30 years old today. Brooklyn Decker, the model, is 30 years old. And Saoirse Ronan. Saoirse celebrates her 23rd birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Today's the last. It's the final day of the NBA season. How about that?
And it's come down to the final game of the season for the Los Angeles Clippers trying to get home court advantage for the playoffs. Either way, whenever the first game is, you can be there. We've got the Clippers for you in the playoffs, and here's how we're going to do it. Give you a chance to call in and win it in the next 40 minutes or so. Actually, 35. Next 35 minutes or so right here on the Kevin Bean Show. What are we listening for, Kevin?
We are listening for Ralph Lawler doing play-by-play for any play that the Clippers do. Just if you hear his voice doing play-by-play, be caller
20?
20. I'm seeing how many we had. Be caller 20 at 1-800-520-1067, and that will happen before 7 a.m. this morning on K-Rock.
Yeah, he is the legendary voice of the L.A. Clippers. And by the way, we're losing a lot of those legendary announcers, so we ought to really appreciate Mr. Lawler while we've got him.
Here's why I love Bean. Bean does something, and then his wife says, oh, no, no, all women hate that. And Bean goes, you're wrong.
Right, right.
It takes a special guy to do that.
Look, I have been accused in the past of misreading a room.
Right, because you misread a room about 99% of the time.
But in this case, I'm going to tell you, I think I did the right thing and everyone else is wrong.
I see. Good.
Here's what happened. I was traveling for April Foolishness not long ago. And on my flight home to New Orleans, I'm sitting in my seat and there is a lady on the opposite side, one row ahead of me, who is struggling to put her bag in the overhead compartment in the plane.
And you said, hey, get it together.
I didn't say that at all. Okay. I said, ma'am, do you need some help? And she turned around and she said, oh, thank you. And I stood up and I helped her put her bag up into the overhead because it was heavy. And the only reason I told my wife this story is, and it's irrelevant to the story, except for the age of the person involved, is it turned out to be Rashida Jones.
Oh.
The lovely actress that we all know and love from Parks and Rec and so many other things. And I just thought, cute story, tell my wife, oh, what a surprise. I helped Rashida Jones with her luggage.
Humble brag. I was in first class.
Right?
Instead, what happened was, Allie, my wife says to me, she must have hated you.
Well, first of all.
She's right.
That's just a blanket policy that's true. Second of all, why did your wife say that about what you said? What word?
Because I called her ma'am. And I said, what do you mean? And she said, because you called her ma'am and she's significantly younger than you are. And I'm like, easy with the significantly. she said, no, but no woman wants to be called ma'am. Mm-hmm. And I just sat there and it was like she told me that the earth was flat. It was so perplexing to me. Like, ma'am is, honestly, it was just me trying to be polite to a stranger because I didn't know her. I'll never know her. But in that situation, I felt like I was trying to help her
and
be courteous to her.
You could say, excuse me, do you need some help?
Mm-hmm. Even miss. Excuse me, miss, do you need some help?
But isn't...
Excuse me, my fair lady. Can I help you with your bag?
But isn't miss a term that is reserved for single women? And I don't know this person. She's a stranger. I don't know her marital status, nor does it matter. But miss, to me, says I'm making an assumption about whether she's married.
What did your wife say about ma'am? Why girls hate it?
Her reason was just that everybody feels old when they're called ma'am.
Right.
Yes.
And because it's a kid thing. Mm-hmm. When you're a kid, you're supposed to say to your teacher,
yes.
Ma'am.
Yes. Or any elder. It's something reserved for respect for your elders.
Right. But so if they're younger than you.
Why can't you show respect for anyone of any age?
It's not respect because it makes them feel old.
I remember the first day I was called ma'am, and it hit me like a ton of bricks. I was like, oh, my God, it's over.
I don't even like to be called sir. I don't even like that. I just like, don't call me sir.
What
just
about kind sir?
No, kind sir, I'll take.
Okay.
But look, so I mentioned this off the air a few days ago, and everybody yelled at me like they do. Everybody yelled at me
because...
to a person. But hold on a sec. But hold the phone.
So you think that you're right.
Well, I am absolutely right here.
And
you guys are all wrong.
And
but
everybody is wrong.
Why is it when you type in ma'am to the dictionary, you get this? A term of respectful or polite address used for a woman.
Why is it that you think anyone types anything into a dictionary?
Because you want to find out what the definition of a word is.
It doesn't matter what the definition
is.
It
does. Things change.
But words
take on different meanings.
It's usage. It's how it's used.
So hold on. So is ma'am no longer a term of respectful or polite address used for a woman?
It is, but for a woman older than you.
Right.
Well, there aren't any of those.
Never use it.
It's a respect for a teacher or somebody that's older than you and has a position of power over you. And when you're a kid, you're supposed to say ma'am. But as soon as possible, I think most teachers just go, oh, don't call me that anymore.
So at what age do you stop calling people
11.
Ma'am?
No, probably teens. Really?
Probably.
So I still call people ma'am. I do. But they are significantly older than me.
It's an age
yes,
thing.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. Absolutely.
Right.
But if it was Rashida Jones, oh, for the love of God, if I called her ma'am.
But, I mean, I say ma'am to when I call customer service to the phone company, I say ma'am. When the waitress serves me my pancakes, I say ma'am. I'm just trying to be polite and nice to everyone.
Right. You're trying, but you're annoying every one of those people. Every person you call ma'am, you're annoying. You just are.
I don't like it.
It doesn't matter if you like it.
But I don't like it.
Right, but that doesn't matter.
What I'm saying, you're not hearing me.
Pete has gotten to the point where he doesn't like stuff. That means it shouldn't exist.
I love that his wife told him.
Right.
Then I told him.
Right.
Then Chip told
him.
Then Christine told him.
Right.
Still not getting
because
it.
Because everyone is wrong.
Unbelievable.
And why, Kevin? Because I don't like it.
Who's ready for the wheel? Oh, bad animal voices.
No one.
Everyone.
The world.
It's Wednesday morning. It's the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock.
No, ma'am.
We do this every Wednesday.
Did you hear Bean say, everyone else in the world is wrong and he's right?
Stunning.
Right?
He just never ceases to amaze.
Most of us, if we were told everybody else in the world disagreed with us, we would go, wow.
Wow, I need to reevaluate.
Have I been wrong this whole time?
It's the strength of one's convictions,
you would at least
guys.
Ask that question of yourself.
It's nice just to have just endless and unfounded confidence in oneself. It's really remarkable.
Hey, Jonah Ray joins us in studio next hour here on the Kevin.
Poor old Jonah Ray!
Talking about the return of Mystery Science Theater 3000. What's it?
Okay.
You know that show he does. And Ryan Getzloff talks hockey coming up later on. First, though, as Kevin mentioned, it is time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. We look forward to this every Wednesday. What's on the wheel, Kevin?
The Meth Addicted Python.
Ooh. Oh,
Methy Python?
This is going to make you a little angry, everyone, that it hasn't landed on this yet.
I swear to God, don't say Piggy Smalls.
I'm going to staple your balls.
The notorious potbelly pig named Piggy Smalls.
He's got to
get him, Ralph. Get him.
Come on. It's not my fault. It's on the wheel.
Take it off the wheel. It's making me mad.
The Riverside Wild Wandering Burrows. Detective Prince, the puppy sworn into police service. Let me try that again.
No, it's good.
Detective Prince, the puppy sworn into police service. The All Michigan right. chimp who flung poo at grandma.
Oh,
which, by the way,
man.
If you haven't seen that,
oh.
I mean, look it up.
Nana.
Yes, Nana's.
These are all real stories, by the way.
Nana's got poo nose, and no one wants that.
No one wants that.
And the deer that decked a Canadian rapper.
You want to try that one again, too?
The deer that decked a Canadian rapper. So those are the stories that are on the wheel. Let's do it.
It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. Where do you think it's going to land?
Don't know.
It's going to be pretty bad, but Kevin and Bean don't care, so we'll do it anyway. It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
Come on, Piggy Smalls.
Does Piggy go off if it doesn't land on Piggy?
It better land on Piggy.
Well, it's the deer that decked a Canadian rapper.
Yeah!
Have you guys seen this video?
Yes!
It's effing awesome. Unless I'm not allowed to say that, in which case it's amazing.
Is this the guy that gets out of his truck and almost immediately is knocked down by a deer that's just running past a hotel?
Yeah. I mean, it's going full speed.
Yeah, he gets laid out.
Spectacular. Here's the news report.
Carrie McCook was getting out of a truck in front of a hotel when all of this happened. Here's the video. He says he heard three gallops to his left, but when he turned to see what it was, boom, too late. The deer knocked McCook to the ground, but he was able to pop right back up. Luckily, though, he was not hurt.
New meaning to a deer in headlights.
Huh? Yeah, and that deer, I mean, not only did he just run into it, but he jumped right up into the air. I mean, did you see that?
And the guy was able to get right back up. Glad he's okay.
I think he's all right.
He could have died. I mean, it looks incredible.
Yeah, he did an interview with the TV station, and he said, look, I play hockey. I know what it's like to get hit, but I have never felt anything like this. Because, I mean, this is a full-grown deer, too. What do you think something like that weighs? It's got to be 200-300 pounds, right?
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah.
Easy. So, anyway, we're going to find out more about the story. And I think, did Dave get us the rapper? Do we have Carrie McCook, the Canadian rapper, on the line with us here on the phone on K-Rock right now? Hello there.
How's it going, eh?
Hey, is this Carrie?
Is this Carrie?
No, this isn't Carrie.
Carrie from Recca Nation?
What happened?
That's his rap band. No?
He's got a rap band? you know how rap works?
Oh, no. It's starting.
Who's this, please?
Oh, I'm the deer, eh?
Oh, you're the deer. I wasn't expecting.
I'm Gordy.
Are you part of the band?
Gordy.
I'm not in a rap band, no.
No? Okay.
Look, I'm a deer, but I don't think the rap band is a thing.
Yeah, you're smarter than me, deer.
So, Gordy, so what happened?
I ran a guy over.
Why?
Right? I mean.
Have you ever heard him rap?
No.
No, I have not.
He's the worst.
He's the worst. Okay.
Yeah, I'm a huge rap fan.
Are you?
Oh, are you?
Me and my pals, we have a little rap band on the side.
Right.
I would love to hear some of your music.
So I was hearing this Carrie McCook.
Uh-huh.
And by the way, Carrie McCook is like the whitest name ever, eh?
It sure is. Yeah.
And so I'd heard him rap, and I was like, oh, he is doing an insult to the rap game, yo. So I just waited for him. I was like lurking.
Mm-hmm. Eh?
And then I saw him get out of the pickup truck. And first of all, he's a rapper in a pickup truck.
Right. Uh-huh.
Again, an insult to the rap world.
Well, yeah. I mean, he is Canadian.
So maybe that's no excuse, eh?
Okay, all right.
You got to be true to the art form.
Let me ask you this question. It seems like you have a full head of steam when you hit him. How did you time it that way?
I ran at him.
Right, but I'm
and
saying.
I knocked him over.
Right.
You people know how things work in the world, right?
Yes, but
are things different in America?
But my point is,
like rap and like gravity and running and things.
My point is,
there?
When he gets out of the car, you don't have time to get up to top speed, and you're at top speed.
Okay,
all right,
Gordy, I'm as confused as you are.
We run fast. Animals can run fast. I gotta send you guys like a book or something, eh? About things. Because you're asking dumb questions.
Right. So you knocked him down, huh, Gordy?
Okay.
Whoa, what's happening?
I was just hitting another guy, eh?
Oh, running into people while you talked to us on the phone?
Yeah, at top speed.
That's impressive.
With a head of steam in my rap band.
Do you hate that many people that you're running everyone over?
I hate three people right now, that's for sure.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:54.
Josh Mainerich from Saugus. Thank you for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. You're going to go enjoy the Clippers in their first home game in the playoffs and qualify for the grand prize drawing we'll do Friday with access to pregame warm-ups, take part in the fan tunnel, Lexus Club passes, and parking. Your chance to win again tomorrow morning here on K-Rock.
I think that's part of that pregame warm-up. You get to shoot around with the team.
Oh, that's
really?
Pretty cool.
Yeah,
man.
Pretty cool.
That's real generous of them.
Yeah.
And in about 5 minutes, we'll tell you how you can win your tickets for Coachella, because we've got those coming up right after Ralph's Showbiz Beat here on a Wednesday morning.
Sad news. Jay Giles of the Jay Giles Band has passed away at the age of 71. Passed away at his home in Groton, Massachusetts.
How do I know that name?
Jay Giles? How do you know Jay Giles?
Yeah, how come?
My blood runs cold.
Angel is a centerfold.
Oh, okay.
My angel is a centerfold.
Valley singing.
Has just been sold. My angel is a centerfold. Angel is a centerfold.
Real big band in the late 70s, mid-80s.
Freeze Frame?
Peter
Freeze
Wolf frame. Was the lead singer. Jay Giles was the guitarist who founded the band. He quit in 2012, but the band is still out there, going strong. Started in the 60s working in music. He hooked up with a harmonica player. He was a guitar player. The harmonica player was named Magic Dick. And a bassist named Danny Klein. Three of them got together, and then they added drummer Steven Joe Blad and, of course, Peter Wolf, who became their front man, who was a radio disc jockey, by the way, when they found him.
Is that right?
Really?
And went on to rock and roll fame. Jay Giles has passed away at the age of 71.
How about Love Stinks? How about that song?
They were great.
How about Bang on the Drum?
By Todd Rundgren?
Was that
a song by them?
Oh, no. No, never mind. I don't know. I don't know much about the Jay Giles band.
Oh, you know what?
That
was their big hit.
That was their biggest hit, yeah. Birthday boy Brandon Urie is celebrating. He, of course, lead man for Panic at the Disco. He's headed to Broadway. Hollywood Reporter says he's taking over the role of Charlie Price in the musical Kinky Boots on Broadway from May 26th through August 6th. So if you want to see Brendan on stage, go to New York and do that there.
He's so good at everything.
He is. He's a little annoying.
Very talented guy. And you can tell just by his very theatrical performances when the band plays live that he'd be great on stage.
Yeah.
He's going to be terrific.
Also one of the nicest guys in the world, too.
I heard he's a dick.
Did you?
No.
Yeah.
No, he's not.
But he's a magic dick. That guy said he's a dick. Right? That guy.
That guy would never say that.
Oh,
no.
I thought he did.
He is a dick.
Yeah, that guy. Yeah.
That guy.
I told you. And Julie Louis-Dreyfus is coming back with Veep later this month. Cannot wait. Can't
Same.
Happen soon enough.
Same.
Would it surprise you to know that a few top people in the Democratic Party have approached her and want her to run for office? Would that come as a surprise to you?
It would not surprise me because the Democrats are completely out of ideas.
Wow. Yeah, that would surprise me.
Well, don't be surprised, because in an interview with Washington Post, she said she's been approached by a few top Democrats who want her to run for office. However, Julia says she, of course, is quite happy with her job in show business and says it would not happen, not in a million years, she said, would she ever try to launch a political career, so no danger of that. Look, we live in the post-Donald Trump world.
Right.
Why are we going to slide whistle?
Because that's the sound for...
Cut to.
Somebody says something's never going to happen.
Oh, I see.
Fast forward to. Look, we live in a world where people want Oprah to run for president. There's
well,
no
because
rules
we
anymore.
Live in a post-Donald Trump world where it's now... How do you compete with reality show stars running for office?
I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this message.
What are you going to get? A person who is qualified that nobody knows their name? Who's going to vote for that jackhole?
Who's just a boring politician?
The guy who just knows stuff, who went to college for 27 years to learn things?
Mm-hmm.
What, are you going to vote for him? How are you going to get the Kevins of the world to vote for that guy?
Okay.
Right?
We're done with the days of constitutional law professors being president. That's in our past now.
Yes. What we need now is just, ta-da! A lot of that.
Look.
You look. I'm saying
not,
it.
I'm agreeing with you.
No,
and
you're
not.
And
I'm also not even lying when I tell you that I would vote for Mr. T. And I'm not even kidding. I would vote for
same.
Mr. T.
Would you?
Yes, I would.
Sit down.
I want him to be my pastor, but I don't know if I want him to be
I want him to be my president.
Government.
Because he cares about people and he cares about doing what's right.
That's why he'd be a good pastor.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think Mr. T. Mr. T says, I know America needs me. But I need to be right where I am. So I don't think we got T. But maybe we got Julie Louis-Dreyfus. We'll find out.
She said it would never happen.
Did you just take back the slide whistle?
Wow. Sure it was odd. That's the meanwhile it just happened sound. Today's celebrity birthdays. Ed O'Neill, 71. David Letterman is 70. David Cassidy. Oh, there's a sad life, right?
What does he have, Ralph? He's got the...
He says he's got early onset dementia.
Because he keeps forgetting all his lyrics and his songs and
he
stuff?
He keeps forgetting to not drink every day.
Oh, okay. No. Yeah. Allegedly.
Allegedly. Andy Garcia is 61. Nick Hexum is 47 years old today. Shannon Doherty, 46. Guy Berryman of Coldplay, 39. Jennifer Morrison, 38 years old today, as is Claire Danes. Brendan Urie, we were just talking about him!
Birthday boy.
He's 30 years old today. Brooklyn Decker's also 30. And Saoirse Ronan. Saoirse Ronan, I wonder if she knows that farmer from Dingle who we tried to talk to yesterday. She's 23 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We promised you tickets to Coachella. We will deliver. We just moved it a few minutes. So in about 20 minutes, we'll give you a chance to call in and win your tickets. We've got them for you twice today on the Kevin Bean Show. Once this hour, once at 9 a.m. And then again at noon, 3 and 6 p.m. Get all the details at KROQ.com for sold-out three-day passes to weekend two of Coachella. Hey, Jonah Ray.
Hey!
Jonah was here early.
I got here early because I was worried about traffic, and then there turns out that this time of day, no traffic.
I have never heard a human say that.
Same.
Did you really have an easy ride in?
Yeah.
Do you live a mile away?
Yeah, let's get real L.A. here. You know, I decided to go down Fletcher to Glendale to Silver Lake to Beverly to Highland. Highland kicked it on down to Venice. It was not too different from my route when I used to work at a record store in Venice Beach. So it was kind of nice, like, driving down here, like, in the direction where I used to listen to the show.
All
of course, now I have satellite radio, didn't need to.
Sure, appreciate that. Thank you.
That hurt.
Well, we're glad to see you again. And thank you again, just to clear up some old business, for being part of the Foolishness Zone lineup a couple weeks ago. That was so much fun.
That was a blast. Thanks for having me.
It was a good. Did you have a good time as a performer on the thing?
Yeah, yeah. It was probably the biggest show I've ever done.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and that's why I needed Ralph out there. I needed a buddy out there.
Oh. He was out there reading your letter, and it was fantastic.
It was very funny.
Yeah, it was a really good time. The crowd was awesome. I mean, you guys set up such a cool vibe with that whole show, and it was just a fun. It did feel like a small comedy show.
It was sort of a surprise to us the first year when we went, because we didn't know what to expect. But everyone there is so excited to be there, and they're so rooting for the comedians that it's a really positive, fun crowd.
Yeah,
and that surprised us.
Do you think there was any like a spillover from the Migos show that was happening a block away?
I don't. Sure. I don't think we share a ton of crowd.
I don't know. Migos, you should check that Venn diagram, dude.
maybe you're right. I don't know. Jonah, how much time do you have these days to spend doing stand-up with your own show, with the Mystery Science Theater, with the podcast, with everything else that you do, your band? Do you get to do much stand-up anymore?
No, not too much. I mean, last night I was stuck in an edit bay trying to wrap up Hidden America Season 2, and I had to cancel a great show that happens at the Pleasure Chest sex shop on Santa Monica. This guy, Eli Olsberg, he does it. It's a great comedy show, and they're having their anniversary. I couldn't make it. I feel bad. So I'm canceling more than ever.
Yeah.
So
I'm right now.
I'm agreeing to do it.
So thank you again for doing our show.
Yeah, exactly. That was the first time I'd done stand up in months.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. I don't.
Can you
do it?
How different is it for you as a comedian to not have done it for months? Is it more difficult?
It's a little bit. Like, it's a little more work. If you're going up a bunch, the muscle memory is there, and it's all there, as opposed to, you know, it's like when you're doing stand-up, you tend to forget if you're not doing it all the time, and then you forget, like, how do my arms work? What joke comes next? How do I do it? Why am I dancing? What is happening?
Why am I dancing is my favorite question.
Answer is usually drugs.
Right. Yeah. Are you all done with Mystery Science Theater 3000? Have you filmed them all?
Yes. We shot all of those last year, like last October, I think, is when we wrapped them up.
And they come out Friday on Netflix.
Yeah, all 14 episodes. And that was kind of the thing. We shot them, you know, all of them in like 2 weeks. So it was like
Are you kidding?
Yeah, it was.
That's punishing.
Terrible. Just take your dream,
right,
and then put it through a meat grinder of just like a cannery. No, something more sterile. Just something like, you know, like a corporate retreat. Just something like really, you know. It just,
Jonah,
like,
why did it have to be done in 2 weeks?
I think just because it's still like, as much money as we made on the Kickstarter, it was still like a lot to do. I mean, a lot of that money went to building the sets again and building the robots and, you know, all the writers and everything like that. So, you know, to make it economically viable, we still had to like shoot it real quick.
Now, first several episodes, which you did at the beginning of those 2 weeks, are they going to be stronger? Is it going to start getting really weird the second half of this season?
I think
when
I'm a bumblebee.
When should we taper off watching? That's what he's asking.
Right. You got to get punchy after a while.
We shot every, like, you know, we did all the riffs in order. So the riffs are strong and they have a consistency.
Okay, good.
And then, like, the host segments, we were jumping around all over the place. There were some times where, Joel Hodgson, the creator, would come up. He's like, all right, man, here's, like, a magic trick you need to do. And then you need to go into a song. And then you're going to use this prop that has some blades in it, but they're not that sharp. And then you go, we got movie sign, and then we're good to go. And I was just like, oh, I don't know how to do a lot of magic hand stuff. And he's like, oh, come on, dude.
Does it still freak you out that you're like, I'm getting notes from Joel?
Yeah.
Right now. This is insane.
It was really weird. It was like, luckily, because of the schedule was so hectic, there was no time to
reflect
on
it.
Yeah, to go, you know, look around and go, wow, look at me, Jonah Ray Rodriguez. You know, when I was a kid growing up in Hawaii, I would have, like, there was no time to do that. I just had to just do it. I had to Nike it up.
Sure. Why is Mystery Science Theater 3000 coming back in 2017? Was it just that Joel never stopped hearing from people who loved it and missed it and insisted on more episodes?
A bit. Joel would always say that he kind of has unresolved issues with it. You know, he left a little sooner than he would have liked to, and he always felt that, you know, the show could sustain on its own. He said it, you know, a lot of people, when the original cast left, everyone said, oh, well, that's it. That was SNL. There was no SNL without those players. And, mm-hmm. And then it proved otherwise. And he always felt that, you know, MST could do the same. There's no reason for it. And then, you know, it's also back because no one could have imagined that 90s nostalgia would mean buco bucks
these days. And I want to circle back to, you mentioned the Kickstarter, and this is the voice of a Jonah Ray here on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock talking about Mystery Science Theater 3000, the return on Netflix this Friday. You mentioned the Kickstarter. It made history, right? Wasn't it the biggest or one of the biggest of all time?
Yeah, it was the biggest video project moneymaker. It beat Veronica Mars. And that's
no small feat.
Yeah, yeah. That's a show I never saw. So when they said we beat Veronica Mars,
it's so good.
I didn't have TV for from like the late 90s to like the mid 2000s.
You were poor?
I was poor. I was a poor guy. And I was living in a shack in Hollywood.
How many times did you have to answer this question? You don't have a TV.
It was the worst. Yeah. It was and everyone thinks it's in LA. Everyone thinks it's a statement.
Right.
It's like, I don't have TV. Oh yeah, I get it. I don't watch TV. No, I don't even have a TV. I was working the only things I saw tons of movies during that time because I was working at the ArcLight in Hollywood.
All right.
So I saw I saw the Amityville Horror remake with Ryan Reynolds probably about 20 times for free. So.
Lucky.
Yeah.
Well, you need to break both legs or something so that you can catch up on all the great shows you missed.
Your advice is break both legs
so that you're forced to stay in bed and have nothing to do but watch TV. And that
seems like a really
up.
Roundabout way to go and watch some TV.
See, the thing that you don't understand is that Bean's life, sitting in bed watching TV, is the ultimate dream. That's as good as it could possibly get.
He wants to be one of those people from WALL-E. He just wants a little floating chair.
Yep. Brain in a jar.
He wants to be a brain in a jar.
Brain in a jar.
Yeah. A consciousness.
All right. $6 million is what ended up being raised, if I remember correctly, right?
Yes. Yeah.
How much of that went up your nose?
Oh, so much of it. I mean, to be able to do it in that schedule.
Right.
I had to
be high.
Lots of pixie sticks.
Very legitimate. Yeah. All right. We got to take a very quick break. Jonah Ray is here. Netflix is the place for Mystery Science Theater 3000. We have many more questions about that and so much more with our guests right after this song. Our friend Jonah Ray in studio with us here on K-Rock. By the way, season 2 of Hidden America, his very funny show on CISO, returns in early May. This Friday on Netflix, Mystery Science Theater 3000. By the way, I'm so bummed out, Jonah, because when you did Foolishness, you talked about how you moved to L.A. and started listening to K-Rock and became a fan of the Kevin Bean Show, and that every single day you heard Papa Roach. You said that every single day you sang some of that on stage, and I thought, oh, let's remember to play that when Jonah is in. Got to play Last Resort when Jonah is in, and I totally forgot until right now.
That was almost every time. I remember even as a joke once to my friend, that was like the joke we had to each other. I said, let's turn on K-Rock. And then right when I clicked onto it, I started singing it, and I matched up perfectly with P. Riddy.
Yeah. Now, next
my time. Life.
Let's talk about the cast for the reboot of. Is it fair to call it a reboot? Is that legitimate?
It is.
Or no?
It is okay. Not. It's a continuation. Okay. It's season 11. It's and I think when you see it, you'll feel that it feels like this is where the show would have got had it stayed on the air for this amount of time. But it is essentially the same show. It's a continuation.
The cast is it's nerd heaven, right?
Yeah, no, I mean it's you got Patton Oswalt playing TV son of TV's Frank, the Frank Conniff character that is just so iconic.
He's so great.
You got Felicia Day, who I hadn't seen a lot of her stuff before we started working together, and she's incredible.
She's magic.
Wonderful.
She really is.
Just good, and she's like physically funny, and she was 6 months pregnant when we were shooting it. I had no idea.
Wow. Yeah, where'd that come from? All of a sudden, she's like, by the way, having a baby in a week.
To you where that
what?
Comes from. But, I mean, I don't mean, though.
I just said, she kept that so quiet.
She did. I think that's beautiful
that's
in this day and age.
It's like, yes.
I was so impressed. It made me want to have a kid just to do that.
That's the reason to have a kid.
And then get rid of it because high market for a white baby these days,
Right? Yeah. You make a lot of dough.
Yeah.
And tell me about Barron and Hampton because they're playing Tom and Crow.
Yeah. When Joel asked me to be the main guy, the human, the test subject, I asked him, like, who are you going to get for, Crow and Servo? And he's like, I don't know, man. I think it should be you. You should be – because it's I had a relationship with Kevin and Trace when we started doing the show originally, who did the voices for Crow and Servo, and I think it should be you. He always thought the show was like a document of the comedy scene at that time. And that was a document of the Minneapolis comedy scene when it started. So I already, like, for Crow, immediately went to Hampton Yen. It's this guy, I met him when he was still living in Virginia doing stand-up. I was going through on the road, and his voice always reminded me of Crow, but he's also got this childlike nihilism that is just, like, so perfectly in line with how Crow is. And then when I started thinking about Tom Servo, I started thinking about, it's like, well, what are the things I know about Servo? It's like, he loves to sing even when people don't want him to. He's, like, always boasting about his acting abilities and his Shakespearean qualities, and I was like, oh, that's my friend Baron. That's my friend Baron that I've known for years.
It's funny how you talk about all of the qualities seem to be pretty negative.
Oh, no, no, no.
And yet
no.
They're your friend. Nihilistic, he sings when you don't want him to.
Yeah, I think a friend is someone you can tear down to their very marrow and then still want to hang out with them. Because you don't have to, like a family member.
And did you, when you approached them, did you find out or did you know ahead of time that they were also crazy fans like you were?
No, you know, it's in the current scene of comedy, you're probably a fan of Mystery Science Theater. Just it was one of the shows. It was early, you know, if you're my age.
You guys are all the right age for that.
Yeah, exactly. It was on Comedy Central all the time. And so, you know, you're going to like Mystery Science Theater. You're going to like Absolutely Fabulous. You're going to like Kids in the Hall. You know, everything that was on during
right,
that time.
Right.
And so, you know, there was no question that they would be into it.
Do you hear this a lot, Jonah? Because I've watched I was never a super fan, but it was definitely something I watched, you know, periodically. Mm-hmm. And I loved the movies. It's not just that the comedy was funny. I love those kinds of movies. Do you feel the same way about them?
Yeah, I mean, it coincides.
Like positively love them, not negatively love them.
You know, a recent study said people who enjoy bad movies are highly intelligent. So
I need to find
Kevin,
that study.
Right?
Oh my
finally!
God. I get made fun of every day
Kevin,
for my
you
case.
And Kevin James are geniuses.
I'm the smartest person in the world. Oh, this is such a good day. Whoa, where can I find that study?
Time to get that fast eight tattoo.
I'm so happy.
And that's also the tone of how you guys play it and how the old show played it too, which is that you're not hating on those movies. You're enjoying the heck out of those movies.
No,
right?
No, it's just that they're not like necessarily bad movies. They're just forgotten movies or mm-hmm. they're just slightly incapable of telling the good story. The stories in some of these movies are great. They're really cool stories. They're just of the time, they couldn't really do it. And I'm sure there's movies that we think are pretty okay now that if we look back on in 20 years, 30 years, we're going to be just, people, we watch this?
Oh,
we
let this slide? You'll be doing Crash. You'll be doing Crash one day in the future.
Crash, I was working at the Arclight when that trailer was on, so I saw it, that trailer so many times. I used to have a Don Cheadle soliloquy memorized. It's the, you know, in other cities, you're walking around, people brush past you, you bump into people. But in Los Angeles, we're always surrounded by this metal and glass that we just have to crash into each other just to feel something.
Come on.
Thank you. Thanks.
That's unbelievable. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like, I mean, 20 years ago.
That was great.
No.
Wow.
I saw the trailer probably 50 times.
True or false, there are also some big-name guests on this season scattered among the 14 episodes.
True, and I can talk about them.
All right.
We got Mark Hamill in there.
Oh, just him?
Yeah, Mark
Hamill.
Oh,
Hamill's, my God.
He's in there. He plays this amazing character, does a great song. Speaking of songs, we got like guys like Pawn Storm and Bobby Lopez, you know, from Frozen and all that stuff.
Mark Hamill.
Mark Hamill's there.
Was he nice?
He was very nice. He, for one of the crew members, he read a little bit of, I think, Goodnight Moon in the Joker voice.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And so, and he's there. Joel McHale shows up, which was really interesting because he used to be my boss when I wrote on The Soup.
Oh,
wow.
And then he showed up to set just to do like a little, you know, quick sketch. And I was like, I'm going to show up. I'm going to be like, hey, isn't that crazy that I used to be my boss and now you're on my, and like right when I walk in, he's all, is that the biggest size I could get for your jumpsuit? And I go, oh, Joel McHale.
That's awesome. By the way, wearing a jumpsuit looks like a pretty cool gig, too. Is it fun, like, pretending to be an astronaut?
Yeah.
What was your question?
Is it fun pretending to be an astronaut?
Is it
you're
fun?
Behind,
is it
you're
fun?
Behind the controls of a spaceship and you're in a flight suit.
Question.
Do you like Bean is obsessed with NASA and space, so he meant that for real.
Yeah.
I did.
What was it like being a hidden figure? Well, I'll tell you, Bean. No, I mean it was pretty. It was crazy. I felt bad because it didn't breathe too well, and I had a lot of puppeteers around me, and it was long, hot days in Burbank. But it felt good to be a spaceman, and it made me think about the choo-choos. And
do you consider yourself an actor, Jonah?
I've had to act, you know, doing comedy. I've always considered comedy to be like a wide spectrum of ways to be involved in it. And acting is a part of that. You know, you can act out a bit, you can act in a sketch. You can, even as a host of the show, like I'm kind of playing a character. So, I mean, if any casting people are listening, I'm an actor.
Right? Do you consider yourself an astronaut as well?
I can play one on TV.
You can play one on TV.
Yeah. That's an odd question because in this town, like if you ask them, "Are you an actor?" It's like it's the cheesiest answer to it feels awkward because actors, by and large, are terrible people.
You're a delight, Jonah Ray.
By and large, are terrible people.
Friday,
so you're really going to have to circumvent Hollywood getting back to Highland Park today. Going to have to really go the long way around. Sorry, you got to go move back to San Pedro, dude.
Friday, April 14th. That's this Friday on Netflix. It's 14 episodes. Is that what you said, John?
Yeah, 14 episodes.
14 episodes. That's fantastic.
Yeah, and then 8 new episodes of Hidden America on CISO on May 4th. And then my new band, Pressers, is opening up for the band Pause at Resonant tonight in L.A.
Oh, check it out. What do you play, or do you sing, or what do you do?
No, I play the drums. This is a real band. I had a fake band with Mark Hoppus.
Right.
We had a cover band, but this is a real band with a guy from the band The Blood Brothers, who I grew up really digging, and a guy from Desaparecidos, which is Connor Ober's other band. So it's a fun little rocky outfit.
You're living the dream.
A long time ago, a buddy of mine who I've worked with a bunch, he told me, he's like, you got a lot of potential. You can't live your life like a punk drummer. And I told him to watch me.
Yeah.
All right, Jonah. Thanks so much for coming in, man. Great to see you again.
Thanks for having me. Yeah,
really enjoyed it. And right now, we want to give away some tickets for Coachella. Hey, are you going to Coachella, by the way, Jonah?
No, I don't go to Coachella because there's only two reasons to be there: is if you're playing or if you're a millionaire. It's kind of, for me, like Coachella is like New York City. It's only worth being there if you're like, you know, got tons of money to float above the muck.
Well, you're not going to be doing any floating above the muck, but you are going to be at Coachella Weekend 2. Sold out 3-day passes. We got a game on tap for you to play right now. If you want to give us a call, 1-800-520-1067. That's next on K-Rock.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 7:39.
Live radio.
I just came running in and threw papers all over the whole room.
It's exciting. It's an exciting profession.
Hey, hockey playoffs are here, you guys.
Right?
Mm-hmm. We're going to be talking
to the
captain.
Wait, that's a thing?
The captain of the Anaheim Ducks, Ryan Getzlaf, is going to be joining us 1 hour from right now here on K-Rock.
Go, Kings, go! Go, Kiosh!
Oh, sorry. Sorry about that. Yeah, so we'll be talking to Ryan next hour. That'll be fun as their season, postseason opens up against the Flames. Right now, though, we want to take care of some business, give away some Coachella tickets. You guys ready?
Yep.
Yep.
This one's called Famous Ellos. So you want to go to Weekend 2. Don't lose your ass, don't lose your poo. Because, yes, we have the hookup just for you. Come on, now we'll tell you just what to do. You'll see Radiohead at Lady Gaga. It's a time you remember forever. Come on, win some tickets for Coachella.
I mean, honestly.
Right?
I think we'll be hearing that one at the top 10 Omar intros of the year in December, don't you guys?
Ralph, explain to us what Famous Ellas is.
Well, Coachella.
Yes.
Is a famous Ella.
Right.
Because Ella's right in the name.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Coachella.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
So we thought, let's name some other famous Ellas.
Name the famous Ella.
Okay. So all of these answers to these trivia questions will have Ella in the answer. If I were to say, what's the big music festival held out in the desert every year? You'd say?
Stagecoach.
Coachella.
Coachella.
Oh, sorry.
So somewhere Ella will be in the answer. It's just that simple.
Okay.
I like it.
Let's start with Alan in Newport Beach. Hi, Alan.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. Thank you.
Good, sir. Here's your question. These handy accessories can also be called a brolly, a rain shade, a gamp, or a bumper chute.
An umbrella?
Umbrella!
Nicely done. Name the famous Ella. I don't think I would have known any of those.
You wouldn't know bumper shoot?
Nope.
How about parasol?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Richard in Corona. Hi.
Hello. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
Good, Richard. This American jazz singer is often referred to as the First Lady of Song or the Queen of Jazz. She was noted for her improvisational ability, particularly in her scat singing.
Ella Fitzgerald?
It is Ella
Nicely
Fitzgerald.
Done.
She's a famous Ella.
Famous Ella.
She's probably the most famous Ella, I would imagine.
She's
right?
Famous.
I'm just saying, out of the people named Ella, she's probably the most famous.
Stephanie in Glendale, hi.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good, thank you.
Bean, I would counter you by saying this next answer would probably be
point.
The most famous Ella. Here we go. Here's your question, Stephanie. This Brothers Grimm folktale is about a young woman living in unfortunate circumstances that are suddenly changed due to remarkable fortune. It's also known sometimes as the Little Glass Slipper.
Cinderella.
Yes.
Cinderella.
Nicely done.
Name the famous Ella.
3 for 3. All right,
She's a famous Ella.
More famous.
Cinderella.
Yeah, I agree. Alex in Moreno Valley. Hi.
What's up? How's it going?
Good. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Did you ever think of that if Ella Fitzgerald married Darth Vader, she'd be Elevator?
No.
Never thought about that?
Never thought about that once.
This is an audio clue, Alex. You're going to have to listen to this little piece of music. This is a song by the American rock band called No Doubt from their 5th studio album, Rocksteady.
Right.
Name that song.
A song called Hella.
Close. Hella.
Hella Good.
Yes. Nicely done.
Name the famous Hella.
All right. Let's go to Candace and Whittier. No pressure, Candace, but everybody's gotten them right so far.
Oh, man. No pressure at all.
Right.
Okay. Let's do this.
Candace, this beautiful young American actress and singer played Ruthie Spivey in the TV series My Own Worst Enemy, Tansy Hendrickson in the 4th season of Big Love, and Cece Jones on the Disney Channel series Shake It Up. Do you know her name? Redhead.
Elevator?
Elevator? No, sorry, honey. Bella Thorne is what we're looking for. Bella Thorne.
Name the famous Ella.
Does she go by Elevator?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, she doesn't.
Too bad.
Let's go to Freddie in Los Angeles. Hi, Freddie.
Hey, guys.
Freddie. This villainous character first appeared in the 1956 novel, The 101 Dalmatians, and she's since appeared in Disney's animated and live-action film adaptations of that story as well. Who is she?
That Cruella De Vil?
Cruella De Vil.
Nicely done.
Name the famous Ella.
She's an Ella. Famous Ella.
She is, right. Let's go to Wilson in Corona. Hi there.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good
Wilson. This is a tasty, unique spread made from the combination of roasted hazelnuts, skim milk, with just a hint of cocoa. It's delicious.
Man, I got to go with Nutella.
Nutella is correct.
That's correct, yes.
Name the famous Ella.
All right, and let's go to Jeff for our final contestant in Palm Springs. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, guys. How we doing?
Good,
Jeff. We are good.
Jeff, this 1990 crime film was directed by Martin Scorsese and starred Robert De Niro, Joe Pesci, and Ray Liotta.
Those would be those good Ellas.
Good fellas, you're right.
Well done.
They're famous Ellas.
Famous Ella.
I got to tell you, what an impressive group of contestants, except
right?
for Candace, who was so disappointing.
Well, I mean, Bella really, Thorne was a tough one.
I got to tell you, I would have never gotten that one.
If you don't know Bella Thorne, that would be
Alan and Richard and Stephanie and Alex and Freddie and Wilson and Jeff all knew their famous Ellas are all in the running for a sold-out 3-day pass for weekend 2 of Coachella 2017. Miss Allie McKay, who's our winner, please?
Stephanie's the winner.
Stephanie. Congratulations, Stephanie.
Thank you guys so much. That's so awesome.
3-day passes, and thanks for playing the game.
Name the famous Ella.
How dare you?
A double door.
Not to the 1975.
I think that's a pretty good year.
Hey, Bean, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Are you enjoying a nice donut or fried chicken sandwich right now? Are you having one of
I don't have,
either of those?
I don't have.
Big
I don't
space
have either of those items.
Chicken and sandwich.
Because Astro Donuts fried chicken just dropped off both. And
I mean, that does
so
sound
good.
Delicious. I'm not going to lie.
Really delicious. And
I feel
you
like
should...
you're winning the breakfast battle this morning.
That is correct. I just wanted you to admit that.
You win. You're better than me.
Right. Finally. 7:54, time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
Orlando Bloom says he and Katy Perry, even though they've split up, are still the closest of friends.
finally talking about his relationship with the LUK magazine. He did an interview in this month's issue, and he says he knows sometimes celebrity breakups can get messy, but not this one. We're friends, he said. It's good. We're all grown up. She happens to be someone who is very visible, but I don't think anyone cares about what I'm up to, nor should they. It's between us. It's better to set an example for kids and show that breakups don't have to be about hate.
That's nice.
That is nice. Who leaves Katy Perry?
Well, a few people so far.
They're all dumb.
Yeah.
Dumbasses.
Not bright.
And he split with Miranda Kerr, too, by the way. This guy's a loser.
I'm not sure he's a loser.
He's a
Miranda
loser.
Kerr and Katy Perry.
You can't keep him, apparently. Loser.
As Kevin has pointed out many times in the past, you're a loser if you let Katy Perry go. But Orlando Bloom is going to go to the next girl who's just as hot as Katy Perry is.
Right?
Sounds like someone loves Orlando Bloom.
That's what I'm getting. Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Just settle your penis down.
It's all about options. That's all I'm saying.
Remember those naked paddleboard pictures of him and Katy Perry in the paddle book? And they were naked paddling.
Yeah.
They asked him, how do you let something like that happen, dumbass? Actually, the reporter didn't ask it that way. That's why I would have asked, because he's a dumbass. He said, I've been photographed a million times in a million ways. I have a good radar. We had been completely alone for 5 days. There was nothing around us. There was no way anyone could get anything. So I had a moment of feeling free. Really? Dumbass? That's when they took the pictures of you naked on the paddleboard, dumbass. What a dumbass.
Why are you so angry at him?
Because he's a dumbass.
I don't know.
Across
sometimes
the board.
You just want your dong hanging out when you're paddleboarding. I get it.
Speaking of dongs, Fox News saying Bill O'Reilly's on vacation.
Oh.
Yeah, he announced on his show on Tuesday that he'd be taking a vacation. However, New York Magazine says this may be the final Bill O'Reilly show on Tuesday.
Really?
Well, 60 advertisers have dropped that show from advertising on Fox News since that New York Times report about him, you know, having to pay 5 different women $13 million because of his sexual harassment.
So they didn't pull out when his daughter testified in court that he dragged his wife down the stairs by her neck?
Look. Wives, right? Who's
right.
with me?
That's what I'm saying.
Right?
I don't think that's the point.
I think that's what we're saying.
I
sometimes
don't think that's what we're
wives
saying.
Wives just don't listen, I think is what
I
we're
don't
trying
think
to get
that's
across.
What we're saying at all.
We're,
no.
We're not.
We're not?
No.
You sure?
The opposite. No.
I know all your wives, by the way. Yeah. So Fox now has to decide whether they're going to allow him to come back or not. Now, right now, Fox is saying he will return on April 24th. But insiders are saying his future now is very much in the hands of the Murdoch family, whether they'll allow him to return or not. A lot of turmoil going over there on Fox News with the
what would you guys do if you were running Fox?
I heard that one of the sons was very anti. He wants him gone. But
one
then
of the Murdoch sons?
Yeah, one of the Murdoch sons. Not Lachlan, the other one. But Lachlan.
Schmucklin?
Maybe Schmucklin. Yeah. But Lachlan and his father both think, oh, let's ride out the storm. That's what I heard.
Because I think this too will pass, and I think the Fox audience is extremely forgiving of a lot of things.
Yes,
well, they love Bill O'Reilly.
It's not about audience; it's about advertisers.
Advertisers,
how
I know.
No, you don't. You said audience. How forgiving are the advertisers? Is what I'm saying. It doesn't matter.
I'm saying
people
if the
still
audience,
watch.
Yeah, and people are watching in higher numbers than they have in years right now, and that will at some point when this dies down be attractive to advertisers again, and they'll be back.
And
they
don't want to be. As we can give kudos to those advertisers that pulled, they pulled him from his show, but kept them within the Fox network. They're still advertising on the network, just not in his show. So until they pull completely from that network, they're not going to see a blip.
Well, that's not true, Allie, because if you have advertisers not spending in that time frame, mm-hmm. then that's an hour's worth of prime real estate that you're not getting your advertising dollars from.
Right, but they're still spending it in the network.
Right.
If they pulled completely out, that would send a message.
But that hour is still being not maximized.
Yeah.
In terms
of
advertising
the next version
dollars.
Of the show was syndicated, is what I know.
Oh, jeez.
So,
look, those advertisers will be back.
Or new ones. I don't know.
Bean does.
It's an odd stance for
Bean. Bean has all the answers.
Well, look, I'm just saying it's a hot button issue right now. It's all over the news right now. But 2 weeks from now, when the audience is still there and in big numbers for Bill O'Reilly, advertisers will say, well, the heat's off of it now. Let's put our commercials back on.
Or Bill to the Blaze and that Tammy Lauren chick to Fox News.
Mm-hmm.
Who's with me?
Right.
Right.
Right. By the way, if you didn't see Saturday Night Live this past weekend, if you think Alec Baldwin's impression of Trump is good,
yeah,
you got to see him do Bill O'Reilly.
Oh, is that right?
It was uncanny. The best part, however, was when Bill O'Reilly was talking to Donald Trump, and they did a split screen, and it was Baldwin.
Oh, that's funny.
On Baldwin crime. And it was pretty awesome. So check, you can find that online.
This was a success.
Check that out. Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. David Letterman is 70 years old today. Sadly, his mom, Dorothy, was on the show many, many times over his career, passed away yesterday at the age of 95. She was terrific.
Used to watch to love her.
Ed O'Neill is 71 years old.
He used to love to watch her, is what he meant.
I tried to just move on.
Thank you, Ralph.
It was hard.
Mm-hmm.
Ed O'Neill, 71 years old today. Used to watch to love her.
I mean, that was
sad.
Said. I meant it the other way, though. Yeah. To love to watch her. Back to you.
David Cassidy, 67 years old today. Andy Garcia, 61. Nick Hexum, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
He's 47 years old today. Shannon Doherty's 46. Guy Berryman from Coldplay is 39. Jennifer Morrison is 38. Claire Danes is also 38. Brendan Urie, you know him from Panic at the Disco. Soon to be seen on Broadway in Kinky Boots. He's 30 years old today. Brooklyn Decker, also 30 years old. And Saoirse Ronan. Saoirse! Celebrates your 23rd birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We're going to talk hockey playoffs with Ryan Getzlaf from the Anaheim Ducks coming up later this hour on K-Rock. First, though, Ralph brought us a fascinating story in the showbiz beat yesterday, I think it was, near the end of the show, about this little 2-year-old boy whose mother believes he is the reincarnation of the great Yankee baseball player Lou Gehrig. He's 2 years old. At two, he shouldn't know anything about Lou Gehrig, right?
He shouldn't know anything about any baseball player, even current.
Apparently, he does. Apparently, he has been sharing facts about the late Lou Gehrig. And even was aware of the feud that Lou Gehrig had with Babe Ruth back in the day when they used to play together on the Yankees in the 1920s. So this kind of got us on the topic yesterday of reincarnation. And let's go around the room real quick. Anyone have any belief whatsoever that you come back as somebody else, or you will come back in a later life as somebody else?
Why not? Sure.
I don't.
Why do you think it's possible, Allie?
Anything's possible, Bean.
I mean, really,
it is a cop-out, isn't it? Thank you so much. I mean,
then for me, anything's not possible. I mean, honestly, if that's the way we're answering.
Have you ever met anyone that had anything to say that led you to believe that person was a reincarnation of somebody who had lived and died in a previous life?
No.
Okay.
Back to you. I just think, I feel like it's definitely possible. Why can't you come back as, I'm not saying Joan of Arc, but maybe come back as someone's, you know, Nana from years before that didn't have maybe the best ending and she's got unfinished business. Why not?
Because I don't think there's any reason to believe that that's true or that happened.
This kid, you know, is 2 years old and he knows about baseball players that were 50 years before him. That's insane.
I don't know what's going on with
this kid. This little kid that's 2 years old hates Babe Ruth.
He does, with a passion.
That's just bizarre.
I do know that there are a lot of people who believe this, and we asked Dave if he could do a little research and maybe find an expert who could fill in the blanks on what we don't know about reincarnation. And I believe we do have Miles St. Clair on the line. Join me here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Mr. St. Clair, thanks so much for coming on.
He's in studio.
Hello.
Hey, Miles.
Hello. Thank you so much for coming in.
My pleasure. May I say it was very entertaining, the whole beginning of the segment.
Did you like that?
Yes.
We really had it together.
You obviously did not get along in your past lives, that's for sure.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, okay.
So Miles, you obviously are a believer in reincarnation. Tell us why.
Well, simply because it's obvious that people, their personalities, their inner selves are created over multiple lifetimes. Your true nature is built over the repeated exposure you have to the world, and that we all carry with us remnants of those previous lives that help color us into who we are.
Now, can you read us? Can you tell what our past life is?
That is what I do.
That's what you do. Okay.
I am a past life regression therapist.
Okay.
As well as author. You can read my new book. Hey, where'd you come from?
What's the name of it? Hey, where'd you come from?
Hey, where'd you come from?
Okay.
But it's just sort of a fun way to talk about.
It is. It's really fun. I like it,
talking
Miles.
Where we all came from before we were who we are today.
Okay, so
we
Allie.
All were something else and mm-hmm. someone else before. Mm. So my new book, Hey, Where'd You Come From? Is... covers that.
Right.
So, Miles, do you ever get to a point where your life is settled, where, as Allie said, your unfinished business is done, and then you rest and you don't come back as someone else?
Well, there are some cultures, some belief systems think that, yes, you keep coming back until you achieve perfection. And at that point, your life energy, your life force is allowed to join the larger life force or laid to rest. Personally, I don't believe that. I think we are a constant work in progress, and we move from life to life just amassing as many new experiences as possible. I don't believe that ever that learning process ever comes to an end.
Now, what do you need to read a person?
I need, first of all, just some contact. I've done this over the phone. I've done it in person.
Oh, so listeners can call in as well?
Of course.
Okay, 1-800-520-1067 if you'd like to. Past life regression therapist is here in the studio.
I get initial feelings that allow me to open up into your past life and be able to read where you came from. Sometimes I will get multiple lives. Sometimes just one particular life will stand out.
Okay.
But it's pretty awesome.
Would you mind reading Allie?
It's pretty awesome.
It is. A lot of people say that after I'm done with them. They go, wow, that was awesome.
And the name of the book again?
Hey, where'd you come from?
All right. Can
please
you read,
pick it up, Amazon.com.
Can
or
you read
Barnes
our friend
and
Allie
Nobles.
Here?
What?
Can you read our friend Allie here?
Of course, okay. I can, Allie.
Can't wait.
It's easier to read someone who's as open as Allie is.
Okay.
It's a little more difficult. People are all, like your friend.
Right. I'm just a big gaping hole.
You are. Whoa. You are wide open and fairly easy to read. And interestingly, Allie was once a soldier.
Allie was a soldier.
Head cold.
I mean, I've got soul, but...
Oh, go straight to hell.
Allie was a soldier in the Revolutionary War.
She was.
Really?
Okay.
No. And she used to play the fife.
I'm sorry, what? She used to play
the fife.
The fife.
Uh-huh. In the revolutionary time,
uh-huh.
there would be a drummer and a fife player uh-huh. and someone who would hold the standard bearer would hold the flag as the forts would progress onto the battlefield.
Okay.
And Allie was a fifer.
A fifer.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Okay. What about
she was horribly murdered.
Wow.
Oh my God.
This gets worse. I didn't realize.
When
yeah.
they were walking through the woods, uh-huh. Unfortunately, the one who was holding the flag, he was shot by a redcoat.
Oh, no.
And then that flagpole went right through the fifer.
Is that right?
Yes. And so that explains her fear of murder.
Sure does.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because when you're walking through the woods just playing your fife, mm-hmm. and suddenly you're skewered with a flagpole.
Right? Yeah. How often does that happen?
That'll leave a psychic mark.
Anyway, fine. That's flag's
a scar.
Terrifying.
Flags,
yeah.
Of course, there are terrifying.
What about my friend Bean?
Oh, Bean.
Yes.
Well, I got a strong hit the minute he started talking. He was a racist old woman.
Oh, no. Why does it...
In the antebellum South.
Miles, come on.
He used to live on a plantation...
Is that right?
Around the Civil War era.
Uh-huh.
And he was an angry, racist old woman.
Wow.
Who would throw dirt clods at young black children. From his porch.
This is awful. Why dirt clods? Did I say clouds? Why dirt clods?
A little bit.
Because it was just handy.
I see.
And she was not
spry. And you're sure about this, Miles?
She was a frail, old, racist woman.
I see.
Antebellum?
Yes.
Yeah.
And so she would just hobble off her porch and just collect the dirt clods.
I see.
And then fling them at the young, African American children.
That explains so much.
And she died alone.
Right.
Because even her own family turned on her eventually.
Wow.
And they tried to give her to the Union soldiers.
Right.
To take away and put in some sort of prison.
Mm-hmm.
But even they didn't want her.
Wow.
So she just died lonely, alone, in her racist mansion.
I think enough about me. Before
what
we
about
get to our
Kevin?
Before we get to our listeners' phone calls, what about Kevin? Can you do anything with him?
Absolutely. Miles? Kevin was a puppy. I rarely get this, but this is occasionally we will get cross species lives being lived.
That was a puppy.
And this is only Kevin's
Shut up, Allie.
Second life. This is Kevin's
only my second
life.
Oh, yeah. So he's new at things. That explains
he's
a lot.
New.
Was I a bad puppy?
He's what we call in the business a fresh spirit. He's newly minted, and so he started off as a puppy. And
oh my God.
It went pretty well.
Did it?
Yes, yeah. He had a fun time.
Okay, good.
Shoot a lot of things, mm-hmm. had a lot of romping.
Right.
And then, sadly.
Oh, no.
Yes, the reason he came back as the person, because eventually the puppy thing did not work out for him. He was chasing a car, and the car hit the brakes suddenly, and he just plowed into the back of it and had a horrible.
That sound is familiar.
Fender.
Can I hear it again?
Just a fender interaction that caused him to move on to the next stage, which is now who he is today.
Okay. All right. Well, that is fascinating deep background on us. Okay,
well,
thank you, Miles.
You are fascinating people. It's a pleasure to read you.
All right. We're going to take some phone calls. 1-800-520-1067. If you would like to be read by Miles, he is a past life regression therapist.
Thank you.
And he will explain things to you next.
Don't forget the book. Hey, where'd you come from?
And we'll talk to you next. Okay. Just ahead of playing Smashing Pumpkins, do you mind, Miles, if we take one call?
No, that's what I'm here for. I'd be happy to talk to someone.
Miles is a past life regression therapist. Yes. Devorah is on the line from Whittier. Hi, Devorah.
Hey, Miles. What was I in a former life?
Devorah, just reading you right away, I can tell you that you were a Native American chieftain. And, yes, you were part of the Neshaminy tribe. And you went by the name of Mossy Rock.
Mossy Rock?
Mossy Rock. Yes, you were Chief Mossy Rock of the Neshaminis, and you often would use a bow and arrow.
I mean...
Okay. Just that's what I get.
That's what you're getting.
All right. So how?
Cool. Thank you.
Thank you for calling. 1-800-520-1067 is the number. More readings right after the Smashing Pumpkins on K-Rock. Normally, I don't believe in this type of thing, but I believe that Miles St. Clair,
thank you,
the past
got a
life
read on us,
the past life regression therapist, does have an accurate read.
Thank you. And it's real, and it happens, and this is how we are formed. This is how our personalities, our distinctiveness, it is a creation of living many, many lives, and we carry little remnants of those lives into the present, and that's what forms our personalities. It makes sense when you think about it.
And Miles, this book that got on our radar, The Boy Who Knew Too Much, about the little boy who believes he's the reincarnation of the Yankee great Lou Gehrig, you're all in on his story, too.
Absolutely, yes.
Okay.
Little Christian is 2 years old, and is this the only possible explanation for him knowing the things he knows is that he, in a previous life, was Lou Gehrig.
Now, maybe his family has the MLB channel, and he just watches a lot of documentaries.
He's two.
Okay, so no.
Two.
If I could only buy one book, should I buy The Boy Who Knew Too Much or yours?
My book, my new book, which is on stands this week, I couldn't be more proud, called Hey! Where'd You Come From? is all about many people, not just one example like that book.
So yours.
But many people who've had past live experiences that I personally have able to regress them and to contact their previous lives. Yes.
All right. Okay. Well, you've been very kind to offer to stick around and read some more of our listeners.
My pleasure.
All you need to do is hear their voice on the phone and you can tell them about their past life, right?
Well, luckily, I used to be a medium. Now I'm an extra large, but I will get an immediate hit off of them, and whatever their most, sometimes it's dramatic or impactful, prior life will immediately jump to the forefront, and they will present itself to me, and it's clear as crystal, like watching a movie.
Okay.
In Technicolor.
Really? All right, let's go to Andrea in Los Angeles. Andrea, hi.
Hi, good morning, guys.
Good morning, Andrea.
Hello.
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 Right away, it's jumping out at me. You were on the Pinta with Christopher Columbus, one of his ships coming to America.
She was on the Pinta.
You were a chef. on the Pinta.
A chef on the Pinta.
Yes, you used to make the food for, you'd make the grub for all the soldiers and sailors that he had with them. And you were the one of the first people to see the New World. You said, hey, I see seagulls. And that's what let them know that they were coming up on this on the ground. And then you made a souffle for everyone to celebrate.
Yes. I knew it.
So if you're if you have any do you have interest in cooking?
I don't.
You should. Given your prior life.
But she doesn't.
What are your interests?
Film, old movies.
Yes, mm-hmm. because yeah. you saw the New World and you like new movies.
What?
It's good. It's good,
next.
Miles.
Next.
I don't, okay, next. Okay. Let's go to Christian in Irvine. Hi, Christian.
Hey, guys. What's up?
Hello, Christian.
So what did I used to be in a past life? I want to know.
I'm immediately getting a very clear vision. You were an ancient Greek. You were known as Precipice. And he was a philosopher.
Okay.
And you would hold court and teach the young, young boys many things in your...
Careful.
Careful.
He would impart his knowledge
right.
of physiology.
Oh, no.
And biology.
Right.
And a little music.
Music.
They'd be singing or humming, mostly.
Humming!
In his quarters.
Okay.
A lot of humming coming out of his bed quarters.
Oh. Mm. Mm.
This is sounding...
Yelling more than humming, really.
Okay. Next.
Uh-oh. And Precipice, they would say, we are on you.
I mean, look, don't call if you don't want to know, right?
They're not all great lives. Sometimes
we, have time
we learn
for
things.
For just one more for
just,
Miles?
Just the one more, and then I have to run. I've got a big signing at Barnes & Noble.
Okay. Let's go to Ken in Santa Monica. Hi, Ken.
Hey, good morning, Kevin, Bean, Allie, Miles.
Ken, I'm feeling, ooh, you are, this is exciting. You were an Egyptian prince.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Man.
You were Prince Amektofu. And.
It's not a very good name for a prince.
He was held aloft by a pack of jackals. That's how he was carried everywhere he went. He would just ride a wave of jackals. And they would get him to the courtyard.
Mm-hmm.
And there he would. Often, he started the first farmer's market, is what he did. He would bring fresh produce and fruits and vegetables
right.
to the people
okay.
of Alexandria in Egypt. And so he became known as the Farmer of Egypt, was his nickname.
The Farmer of Egypt.
Yes. What do you do for a living, Ken?
I grow medical marijuana.
There you go.
Oh, wow.
Yes, that explains it.
You How
went
from
being well the farmer now. Of Egypt to the pusher of Santa Monica.
Wow, pretty sweet. All right. Thank you, Ken, for the call. We appreciate
Thank you,
it. Miles, I don't know what to say. You're amazing.
Yeah, I can't take the credit. It's a gift.
And your book, one more time, you like
hey,
to plug it?
Where'd you come from?
I'm very happy for Chip right now because you know how much he loves her Anaheim Ducks. But I'm also a little bit worried, Chip, because I feel like Wild Wing is now following you around even to work. What's going on here?
You don't know, man.
I see the pictures of you guys together watching the games, and it looks like you're having fun. But here he shows up at the station.
He's
Wild Wing's in the next room.
He's going to help me start running the board, too. I hope you guys are cool with that.
All right.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Well, it's very exciting. The Stanley Cup playoffs are here. First round, game one is tomorrow night. Anaheim is welcoming their old foes, the Calgary Flames, to town. We are always excited when we get to catch up with the captain of the Anaheim Ducks, our friend Ryan Getzlaff, back on the phone on K-Rock. Ryan, how you feeling, man? Big week for you.
Feel good. Thanks, guys.
How happy are you that it's the Flames?
I don't know if we're happy about it, but it's, every team we're going to play in this playoff is going to be tough, so. We're excited to get started here. I think we've been waiting for this for the last couple months. So,
tell me about Mark Giordano. He, of course, injured Cam Fowler, and that's not going to sit well necessarily with your team, correct?
Well, no. Obviously, it didn't.
There were 22 penalties. Was it 22 penalties in the third period alone?
Yeah, there was a couple minutes in that third period.
I've never seen more players in a penalty box than that in my entire life.
Old time hockey.
Yeah, there was a lot going on, you know. But, you know, thankfully for that, you know, it was dealt with that game and we can move on from it. We don't want that to be a distraction, obviously. When you get into a playoff scenario, it's more about the win than it is about everything else. And Cam would agree more than anything that he would just like to see our team win rather than take retribution.
How do you do that? How do you make it a clean slate? Playoffs is a whole different ballgame. How do you put those feelings aside?
You just talk about it. I think, you know, we've addressed it, and we will address it, you know, leading up to game time is about keeping your emotions in check and playing the game. So, you know, playoffs are all about sacrifice, and those are things that you have to take into consideration.
Hockey playoffs, to me, are the sport where it takes the biggest jump from the regular season to an all-new high level of playing, and hockey playoffs are crazy. Is that because you would all die if you played that way all season?
Probably. You know, to be quite honest, it's a grind. You know, I've been through it to the end, luckily, and I know what it takes to take the toll on your body and everything else. And, you know, both physically and mentally, it's exhausting. You sink everything into it that you have, and at the end of it, hopefully you're holding the prize.
Is it tiring mentally to go from game to game because you have to keep doing what you said, block out the pass, so whether you win or lose, it doesn't matter, and the next game is all that matters, and then the next game happens, and then the next game is all that matters. Is that tough mentally?
It is, exactly. The mental aspect of it is just as hard as the physical. It's you got to turn the page no matter what happens and get ready for the next one. And you know, and just when you think you've reached it, you're going to start a whole nother series. So the whole thing is it's an exhausting time, but it's also what we play for, and it's fun.
Does it give you confidence that you've beaten the Flames so many times at Honda Center?
It's almost sad, Ryan.
Well, again, it...
It really is. I mean, it's kind of sad.
You could toss them one.
Well, it's another situation that, you know, obviously the team changes from year to year, and not everyone's been a part of all that. So it doesn't really affect us very much, other than the fact that, you know, that game won, hopefully we can put a little doubt in their mind and what they can accomplish in our building.
Allie had a question for you about...
The Olympics. When the NHL said they're not going to restructure their season for the 2018 Olympics, and now it's causing problems with draft picks saying they don't want to have, they're halting their talks with the NHL, guys from Russia saying, well, I don't want to play in the NHL. I want to go to the Olympics. You, as a two-time Olympian, what were your thoughts when that ruling came down?
No, it's a tough situation. I mean, obviously we understand both sides of it, and I think we're missing out on an opportunity to grow the game when we don't go to those things. And being a player has experienced it, there's nothing really like it. Obviously, winning in the NHL and stuff is a different feeling, but going to play for your country is always something I've taken great pride in. So,
yeah, that Bettman's the worst, right?
I don't think he can answer if Bettman's the worst.
The laugh was enough.
I don't think he's allowed.
No, it's just, actually, you know what? You know, the whole scenario is... not really a fun one to deal with.
And, yeah.
You know, obviously, we're tough to deal with during the season, too, when we're trying to dig into things.
So. Yeah, he could have kind of held off on this, the announcement, until the playoffs were over.
He had a deadline to reach, too, with the Olympic Committee. They had to make a decision, but I just wish we would have been able to deal with it a little bit more this summer, this past summer, and be able to come to some kind of agreement before the season started.
All right, back to the playoff series. Gibson is healthy and back.
No, he's not healthy.
He's not healthy?
No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, that was like breaking news, Ryan.
Because even if people aren't healthy, the NHL never admits that.
No, that's true. But no, he's not healthy. And both our goaltenders have been playing great, so they're both ready to go and healthy.
He makes it so hard not to like him.
He does, doesn't he?
I meant you.
No, he's talking about you.
I meant you.
He's talking about you.
Me. Yes.
I thought you were talking about Gibby.
Oh, you, damn it.
We don't know Gibson as well as you do, but... All right, first game is tomorrow night, and it's at the Honda Center, right?
Correct.
So you got tomorrow, then Saturday, then Monday, then Wednesday, and then we'll see from there. But best of luck in the playoffs, and we always appreciate when you come on the Kevin and Bean Show and give us your time.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Ryan. Bye now. 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ, LANOC's alternative rock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5 minutes till 9. Ralph is here now with a look at the showbiz beat. What's going on, Ralph?
I feel bad for Mel B, right?
How come?
Well, because she's married to that douchebag Stephen Belafonte. Not, you know, they're separated. She's getting a divorce, but things are not pretty with that split up.
Mm.
Apparently, he wants joint custody of their 5-year-old daughter, Madison, and visitation with her 10-year-old daughter, Angel. She got married to this guy just 2 months after she gave birth to Angel, and he has been the father figure, despite the fact that the baby's biological dad is... Do you remember this controversy?
No.
No.
Sporty Spice?
Yeah.
Sporty Spices?
Huh.
Dad? Baby dad?
Baby father?
Prince Charles.
Yes. Yes, it's Prince Charles.
That would be amazing, right?
No, Eddie Murphy.
What?
Yes, Eddie Murphy's the biological father of her daughter, Angel.
Wait, for real?
Yes, for real.
You said Eddie Murphy.
You heard me.
And Sporty Spice.
Why is none of this cutting through?
It just isn't.
You don't remember this big controversy?
No.
I don't at all.
Huh.
Huh.
Good times. Anyway, it's messy. It's a mess.
It's a mess.
Just saying, this is a mess. This is a mess. Speaking of messes... Transformers, The Last Knight, is going to hit theaters in June. I'm sure it's going to be a wonderful film if they're going to be a client. Of ours. But until I get that information, boof. Right?
Right.
Sir Anthony Hopkins is in it, though.
Oh, my.
He plays an astronomer and historian in this newest installment of Transformers, The Last Knight, of the Transformers franchise. And he taught me, see... I can't trust Sir Anthony Hopkins, because he's a good soldier. If he's selling a film, we're talking about it, he's all in.
Yeah.
For example, he said to a Yahoo Movies this week that Michael Bay is comparable in his talent to the other directors he's worked with, like Oliver Stone, Steven Spielberg, or Martin Scorsese. Right? Now look, Michael Bay technically is a pretty impressive dude. He puts together these spectacles.
Agreed.
But Scorsese, Spielberg, Stone? Does he belong in that list of names? Anyway, Anthony Hopkins will support you. That's what you need to know. If you're in a project with him, he'll stand by you. And sadly, Jay Giles has passed away. Jay Giles, guitarist for the Jay Giles Band, passed away. A lot of people thought he was the lead singer for that band. But
yeah, I would have thought so too.
No, Peter Wolfe was the guy who sang all their hits. He started off in mid-1960s. He got together with a bassist named Danny Klein and also a harmonica player named Magic Dick. And they started a band, and they added a drummer, Stephen Joblad, and then Peter Wolfe started singing lead.
They should have named the band after Magic Dick.
That would have been good. Yeah. Centerfold was a smash number one hit for 6 weeks. My blood runs cold.
Weeks, no kidding, that doesn't happen.
And that was followed by another top five hit, Freeze Frame.
That's the sound.
Was that
the sound of you
and
clearing your throat?
Yeah, a little phlegmy.
That was odd.
Band is still out there playing, but Jay left the band in 2012. How do you leave the Jay Giles band if you're Jay Giles and then the Jay Giles band is still going on?
Yeah.
I guess maybe you still get paid?
Yeah, I guess maybe he did.
For doing nothing?
Anyway, passed away at 71 yesterday, so... Also passed away, David Letterman's mom, Dorothy, who was a big part of his show for many years. She passed away at the age of 95 yesterday.
She was awesome.
Remember when she was his correspondent during the Olympics? He would send her to like Norway and Japan and other places and just check in with her. And from time to time, she also delivered top 10 lists from her kitchen in Indiana. Dorothy Letterman passed away at the age of 95 this week. And it's Letterman's birthday. Today he's 70 years old. As we look at the celebrity birthdays, Ed O'Neill is 71. David Cassidy, 67. Andy Garcia, 61. Nick Hexum of 311. He's 47 years old today. Shannon Doherty's 46. Guy Berryman of Coldplay's 39. Jennifer Morrison's 38, as is Claire Danes. Brendan Urie from Panic at the Disco is 30 years old, just like Brooklyn Decker, the model. And Saoirse Ronan celebrates her 23rd birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. On your drive home today, let's do a commercial-free 5 p.m. hour random act of helpfulness in the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers. Tomorrow morning, we've got your Clippers playoff tickets. We've got your tickets for weekend 2 of Coachella. And Thursdays means we talk to Jim Rome and Dr. Drew. We'll see you tomorrow.